listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, as promised, real quick here, Argentine journalist Cesar Merlo of TYC Sports, who's been on top of the Mateo Bajamic situation, says verbal agreement for $1.2 million transfer fee, four-year contract, this to the Houston Dynamo. Lawyers are drawing up contracts at this moment. So there you go. So the Dynamo on top of it, looks like a replacement for Albert Elise waiting in the wings. So good stuff there. So that birthday song goes out to Nebo Bandovic, who joins me now of NB Elite Realty. Nebo is the former leading scorer for the Houston Hotshots. He's a tremendous story because of not only what he did in his soccer career, but then after that has created an amazing real estate company. And you can follow him at Nebo Bandovic, at N-E-B-A-N-D-O-V-I-C. And he joins us now. Nebo, first of all, happy birthday. We played some special Beatles, the song Happy Birthday to you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, we appreciate you having you come on the show. I know you're back in Houston on business right now. You know, just a brief thought on your days at the Hotshots and what it meant to you playing here in Houston and playing in the Summit, banging in all those goals.
Well, it was amazing experience. I will never forget that. And every time I drive 59, it brings a lot of memories. First of all, Hotshots was first-class organization. And we had a very good following. We had also very good results, and it was a lot of fun. Indoor game was a lot of fun. I mean, I like outdoor, but indoor was so fun because we were so close to the fans and music and Summit was, it was something special about Summit. I mean, it just really was, it was really something I will never forget. I really had a great time there, and I miss it sometimes, to be honest, you know.
Talking to Nebo Bandovic of NB Elite Realty. It's nbelitereality.com. I'm going to say it again, nbelitereality.com. All right, Nebo, part of the reason I wanted to bring you on is number one, I wanted to remind people that Nebo and his company are sponsors of this show, and we can't thank Nebo and his company enough. I think it's a great connection, soccer and him, and obviously with his career here, he was in the youth community as well, working with tons of people. But I think the big story here for me, Nebo, is, and I want you to take 3 minutes and just basically tell the story of how you created this incredibly successful real estate company, NB Elite Realty.
Well, first of all, when I was still playing soccer, I had started investing in real estate heavily in Houston, in Montrose and River Oaks, and I built big portfolio of commercial properties in that location. Right before I moved to Miami Beach, I moved to Miami Beach about 3 years ago. Right before I moved, I launched my new project, which was NB Elite Realty Real Estate Brokerage. It was something I want to do because I had I was an investor, and I had many investors who was working with me in the deals, and they said, well, Nebo, can you sponsor us as a real estate broker? So I opened the nice office in Houston, West Alabama Street, and we started with few agents, and all of a sudden we got 100 agents in Houston. Then we expanded into San Antonio, Dallas, Austin, El Paso in Texas. Then we expanded in Florida, and before COVID, we also opened office in New York. So we have now about 600 agents. So why we are so different, unique than any other brokerage out there? Because we are full service brokerage who offers agents 100% commission. So with us, agents get 100% commission. They get amazing support, training, plus they get investment guidance from me and several other investors, agents in the company. I have over 100 agents, investors in our company. So that's why we are unique like anyone out there. And that's why we've been growing, because we offer for the agents great service, great support. They save money, but also we educate agents how to invest money and follow my footsteps.
So Nebo, if somebody's out there right now and they're listening to this, and they might even be an ex-player, Tell them what the next step is.
Well, the next step will be to contact us at through nbilitrealty.com, and one of our team members will reach to them. We, like I said, we have offices through Texas, Florida, and now New York, and we are growing. And as a matter of fact, I do have some ex-professional athletes, not from Houston, in my company as real estate agents. And as I become real estate investor and agent, many people who know that I was in sport, and they said, you know what, wow, let me do that. So if anybody is listening, yes, our door is open. And who knows, maybe some of my ex players, friends, or as a matter of fact, I had some fans before who came up and become real estate agents. So it's just a small world, but our door is open. Anybody from Houston who is interested into our company, we can talk to you guys. And I mean, you know, I live now in Miami Beach, but Houston is my home in my heart. Houston gave me, I came to Houston with nothing, and I made something myself, and I'm really appreciating to town of Houston and anybody from Houston. We are here to help. So
it's a tremendous story, Nebo. I thank you for coming on as always, and I really do thank you for your support of the radio show too, because it's a great labor of love, and you know, you're a part of help keeping it on the air, of course, with our presenting sponsor, John Daspit, and the Daspit Law Firm. So thank you very much for coming on tonight. Enjoy your visit back to Houston, and again, a remarkable story.
Thank you, Glenn. Thank you for having me on the show, and I want to say hello to all Houstonians who are listening, and I wish you all the best.
Have a good birthday. Have a good birthday,
thank you.
Nebo.
Thank you. Bye-bye, Glenn. Bye-bye.
All right. That's Nebo Bandovic. Again, you know, you don't have to pay commission splits to your brokers, NB Elite Realty. It's nbelitrealty.com or 844-444-NBER. And if you're on Instagram, well, you can follow at Nebo Bandovic, NEBOBANDOVIC. And you get his tips over there as well. So it's good stuff. You always like seeing former players and people do well in their second career. I mean, I would only echo the sentiments of Nebo. I mean, Houston has given me everything. You know, I got done playing. I got into youth coaching. I get this incredible break in television. And, you know, who knows where it takes you. So pretty remarkable. So you heard that that on Mateo Bahamic. So it looks like there is a deal being put together there by the Houston Dynamo. And it's what we're about. I appreciate everybody tuning in here tonight. And listen, I'm pulling for Albert Elise. And I'm also pulling for the Dynamo. I think this is healthy. I think we've been dancing with Elise to Europe for too long. And I think it, at the end of the day, it's going to be great for all the parties involved. And let's see if this deal comes off with Mateo Bahamic from Instituto in the Argentine second division. Well, if that comes off, people are likely bringing in a very, very good player. I don't think they'd be spending that kind of money to bring him here. So there you have that. All right, here's a weird one. Oh, and I got to do this shout out real fast. The Snowdrop Foundation. So we did a little thing where they got to watch us kind of behind the scenes doing our pregame show for the Dynamo. And the Snowdrop Foundation is just an incredible organization. It's snowdropfoundation.org. Trish Klein, Andrew Kapalski, Kevin Klein, incredible group. We took our Houston soccer community dinner, which many of you supported. The $8,000 we made off that dinner, which was spearheaded by the author Tom Clare, who's written many books about Manchester United. And by the way, ironically, as he was leading our cancer event, got diagnosed with it and has just fought it so bravely, has been an inspiration for all of us, is doing quite well. We just want to thank the Snowdrop Foundation, and you know, they're just relentless when it comes to pediatric cancer and doing things for those in that community. And let's not forget, you know, with all the attention on COVID right now, there still are cancer patients everywhere getting treatment as this disease continues to ravage and we continue to fight back at it. So thank you, Snowdrop Foundation. Okay, high school soccer in Massachusetts. How about this one? And by the way, anything we've talked about tonight, feel free to call in. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. I'd love some feedback on Elise. I'd love some feedback if you want to see a rebrand. I know there's been differing thoughts from people. Most of the people I talk to don't want to have a rebrand. Is there anybody out there who would like to see a rebrand? Now, we've seen it happen in Major League Soccer. Chicago Fire did it. I wasn't really that impressed with their new logo or any of that. You saw Sporting Kansas City do it. Now, they did it at a time when they got three local owners after the Hunt Group and Lamar Hunt sold that team. And their rebrand, I think, is probably the most successful in the history of the league. And it obviously included a new stadium, colors, all kinds of things. So there's some things to think about there when it comes to a rebrand. 713-780-3776 on Albert Elise or a rebrand. Let's see. Or even on what Sam Stashkel had to say from The Athletic as well. So high school soccer in Massachusetts. I mean, if this isn't an assault on the sport of soccer, I do not know what is. It's almost laughable. I thought this was a joke at first. So high school soccer in Massachusetts. No heading, no throw-ins, no walls, no slide tackling, and no deliberate soccer body contact. I love that one. No deliberate soccer body contact. I can't wait for the first kid who runs another kid over and holds his hands up and said, it wasn't deliberate. Truly incredible. I mean, it has to be an assault on the sport. I don't know what else. Have we really lost common sense that we're going to dumb it down like that? And then meanwhile, you watch the NFL and you got a bunch of guys huffing and puffing and piling on each other every play. But then you look on the sideline and the coaching staff is doing a great job of being social distance. It's incredible. Have we just all lost common sense? 713-780-3776 is the number to call in tonight. We're talking rebrand. Do you want it? I know Eddie Robinson doesn't want it, and he is going to be on in the next segment. We're going to talk to him about Albert Elise, the upcoming game with Minnesota. What about the Premier League? You're out there. I'll take you to break with the band called Super Heavy, and the song is called Super Heavy. We go to the break. I just want to remind you about Lustav Vermouth. You get a little Spain in your life with Lustav. It's fun, fun, fun. Now, whether you do it over ice, you do it over ice with tonic water or club soda, you can break a little orange peel in there. The essence of the orange, it's really refreshing. Now, if you want a little more punch, you do it in a gin and tonic with an orange peel. And the same thing, a few drops of lime juice, and then you get your favorite gin, whatever it is. There's tremendous gins out there. But it's refreshing. They've got three types, Rojo with hints of caramel and cola. That's great in a Manhattan or a Negroni. I actually used it in one of my gin and tonics last night. It was good. Or the rosé with a hint of vanilla or white, which has a little more rosemary. Those are great in gin and tonics as well. Lustav Vermouth, ask for it at your local liquor store. They will order it if it's not there. So mix it up. All right, Hugh O'Connor, 7620 Katy Freeway, Marquee Entertainment Center. Thank you for your support of this show. Liverpool put on a heck of a show in that first game. Hat-trick by Mo Salah. No, the sky's not falling because you conceded three goals against Leeds. Take it easy. It's only one game. We're all there. But that's a great supporters group over there. And I've watched that grow over all the years with Peter and the ownership group. And even actually was around it in the beginning when there were only limited numbers. And now it's just blown up. And we've got these great supporters groups, not only for the Dynamo, but also for all these teams from all around the world in this city. And, boy, we need to tap into that vein of soccer passion and knowledge. All right, we'll take a break. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, GlennDavisSoccer.com. Hit me up on Twitter right now, GlennDavisSoc. More to come, including Eddie Robinson.
Super. talk, less commercials. Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
We are here for you. La, 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 la.
No sleep till...
I'm Vlad Kendanovsky, the coach of U.S. Women National Team, and you're listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn David.
All right, so that was Vlatko Andonovsky. By the way, typing something right here. You know what? You got some Albert DeLeese goals in that folder? Albert DeLeese goal calls. I thought we had a few. Yeah, roll any of them. Roll them both. I want to hear the Panther score.
Vera with the good switch. Lundqvist. Quintero. Spinning, turning. Facing Sporting Kansas City. Seren will square it. Elisa scored. And the Dynamo have tied it up. La Panterita is in the house. Darwin Seren lays it on. Albert Elise ties it up in a matter of minutes after coming on.
Nine on the... Struna. Nice ball. Back post. Elise has got a huge look here. Albert Elise. La Panterita. It's 2-2.
So that was Albert DeLeese all the way back to last year, because you remember he didn't play at the beginning of this year against the LA Galaxy. It was a big night for him. And then you heard the one call there without fans, and that's his final goal at BBVA Stadium. And a very important one it was, Sporting Kansas City. So that was the first goal, and that's his last ever goal for the Dynamo against Sporting KC. So... there you have it. We're getting Eddie Robinson on the phone right now. All right. I was about to call Eddie on the air through my phone, but now we got him. And Eddie, you there? All right. We bring on Houston Dynamo former defender, and also you catch him all the time on the Channel 55 broadcasts of the game as the analyst. He's Eddie Robinson. Eddie, how are you?
I'm doing well, Glenn. How about yourself?
We're doing good. A lot of Albert DeLeese talk tonight, a lot of rebrand talk. Right away, I told people that Eddie's not a big fan of the rebrand, nor am I.
No. I don't. To be blunt as possible, no. I don't want to see that, but, you know, that's above my pay grade. That's not something I'm responsible for, and I can say that this club can do things that I disagree with, but I'm never going to stop loving it because it's my club, man.
Yeah, and it's not a. It was just an article that came out in The Athletic. It just said it was being addressed, and you know it did strike a vein with a lot of fans. And by the way, if you're out there and you're a fan and you want to make a say on this with Eddie and I right now, 713-780-3776 on the rebrand or Albert DeLeese. But I'm going to also take you right now, Eddie, into Albert DeLeese and the move to Portugal, and it's heating up on Bajamic from Argentina. So your thoughts on Albert and what he's meant to the club and what he's done.
Man, I don't know really how to put it into words about what he's meant to this club. The guy's unstoppable. When he's feeling it, when he's on, you can't stop him. You can put one defender on, two defenders, three defenders, he's still going to beat him. And when he was younger, when he first got to the club, he was pretty one-dimensional. You know, he's always thinking about scoring goals. But over the years, we've been able to see his maturation, and he's evolved and developed into a fantastic attacking player that doesn't just score goals, he creates goals. And Mara Minotis probably has been the biggest beneficiary of that. So it's going to be interesting to see how Ariel Lassiter fits in, and how the Houston Dynamo try to replace that, because you can't replace a player like Albert Elias with a person. It's just not going to happen. So they've got to replace that productivity, that attacking productivity, and the only way to do it is to go out and spend the money. It's going to be interesting to see if anybody comes out with the transfer fee, if we find out exactly how much money Albert Elias was sold for, because he's so close to the end of his contract, and then how the Dynamo used that money. Do they use it on another attacking player? Do they put it in their pocket and hold on and see how things go? Because, to be fair, if I'm in the Dynamo front office right now, I'm optimistic about the way that things are going. Yeah,
absolutely.
The last two games, we didn't play so hot, but we got some points.
Yep. Eddie, I just wanted to enlighten you on this, because I don't know if you know this, but we got word that Argentine journalist Cesar Merlo of TYC Sports, he's been all over the Mateo Bajamic story, which is the second division winger at Instituto in Argentina, and that lawyers are already drawing up contracts. So that there's a lot of this is pretty live, this thought here about this transfer, and they're saying the transfer is made at $1.2 million, and after a medical examination, we'll sign for the Houston Dynamo. So this might be the Dynamo staying ahead of the game with Albert Elias and bringing in a winger in Mateo Bajamic.
Well, that's important. Todd Ramos has talked about it for a month and a half, and you and I have talked about it on the Dynamo broadcast, how important competition for places is and what it does to a team. And if they're going to bring in another player, well, all of a sudden – everybody's got to have their ears perked up. Everybody's got to be paying attention. There's a new player coming in that could take my position, that could play over me. So I think it's a great move. But as I've also said on the broadcast, I'm worried about the outside fullback positions. I think the Dynamo are set too deep everywhere. The outside fullback positions, I'm not convinced. I know Bizama just played the other night, and he did okay. And we talked about Sam Junqua, how high Tab Ramos and the coaching staff are on him. But, you know, I think if you're going to win an MLS championship, if you're going to make the playoffs, which has got to be their desire first and foremost, you've got to be good defensively. And the Dynamo have been, but they have been riding that same back four for the most part. Yeah, there's been some changes, but when push comes to shove, when it's put up or shut up, if you lose Valentin or Lundqvist, can you really rely on those other two, Bizama and Junqua? It's going to be an interesting thing to see as these next 18 games play out.
Well, I think for those two guys you just mentioned, I think for Bizama to get through after a broken leg, and he was slated to start, by the way, against the LA Galaxy in the home opener over Zarek Valentin. You know, just simply that he got through 90 minutes. He was rested out of security and precaution. So, number one, he's on a positive trend. Let's just say that. And then Sam Junk was a guy that just needs some opportunity, and at some point it's going to come. But, you know, Adam Lundqvist is just a beast and a machine. But you had to see that he was a bit more fatigued, and he had a little bit of he got a bit of a pushback from Brian Reynolds against FC Dallas, I thought.
Yeah, without question. The one thing that the Dynamo were so good at after the MLS's back tournament is making sure they get their fullbacks involved in the attack and really forcing their opponents, wide attacking players, to defend. So the Dynamo weren't really that vulnerable to counterattacks. Their opponents didn't have a lot of options for outlet passes when they won the ball in their own half of the field, and that was really good by the Dynamo. And we talked about it on the broadcast the other night, and Tab Ramos specifically said, he answered a question about mental fatigue after the Dallas game. And he said, no, I don't think the guys are mentally fatigued. And, yeah, that's somebody from the inside. That's the source, right? We talked about it from outside looking in, that maybe these guys were a little bit mentally fatigued, because we saw some turnovers and some loss of possession.
And some of the players did mention that. Yeah, and some of the players, they didn't have their normal sharpness to me. And listen, they had a run of a bunch of great games, playing an entertaining soccer. I think the biggest thing for me is Todd Ramos's leadership. I think it's the definition of this 4-3-3 now, which is going to change potentially in a big way without Albert Elise, who, by the way, you and I talking to people around the league, the first name they mentioned for the Houston Dynamo is Albert Elise. He's our J.J. Watt. He's our Deshaun Watson. He's our, whatever. He's our star. And
Jose
he's
Altuve.
Gone. Yeah, he's our Altuve, right?
There was a tweet the other day where somebody basically compared Albert Elise leaving the Dynamo to Jose Altuve leaving the Astros, and I think that's pretty accurate.
Yeah, but it's the right move for the Dynamo, and it's a good move because the dance is over now, and Todd Ramos can continue to build his team. I think it's pretty tough when you're a coach and you got a piece like that that's so vital to the team. You know the man wants to go to Europe. You know that's his ambition. He's stated it for a year and a half, 2 years, right? And he finally gets a chance. They get a deal done, and everybody should be happy now, including the coach, who can now figure out the way forward, because it's not changing just because of a couple games in phase one. There's lots and lots of work to do, but there's a lot of positive signs. And to your other point.
Oh, without question.
Yeah, and to your other point, the biggest thing for me is just the improvement of the possession and the midfield three. It just is so completely different than last year.
Yeah, and gosh, the countless number of times, not just last year, but in probably the last 3 or 4 years, we see these turnovers in midfield and the center backs for the Dynamo are spread quite wide and there's a big gap down the middle of the field. The teams could attack and it was really dangerous and we saw a lot of goals given away because of just careless possession. And we haven't seen that much. Yes, it's going to happen once or twice every game. It's just the way it is. It's an hour and a half. You're going to do it once or twice. But the Dynamo have been really, really good this year in not giving the ball away in silly situations. And I think that's a huge part of how good their defensive record has been since the MLS's back tournament, even during the MLS's back tournament.
Yeah, and let's not forget, this league is so much better now that when you make a mistake, more often than not, you're getting punished. That happened to the Dynamo in the last game when they couldn't clear their lines and a loss of possession in a bad area, and it got punished. And, I think for me now, the quota is moving higher when it comes to the way you have to take care of the ball in your own third of the field and your own half of the field. I just think that exponentially has grown now when it comes to punishing mistakes.
Well, and I think a lot of that you can attribute to the increase of the salary cap, the amount of money that teams have to pay for players now, the salaries that they can pay out now. You see so many really good attacking players coming to Major League Soccer where, in years past, I'll even go back when I was a player in Houston, 06 to 2011, you could turn the ball over and there wasn't that much danger because the attacking players weren't quite as good as they are now. Every time you step on the field in Major League Soccer now, the front three that you're facing is going to be quality. The defenders have to be quality. Back in the day, you might have one good forward and one not so hot. And you get away with mistakes. You can't do it anymore. The punishment for mistakes these days is so much higher.
Well, we were whipping off names. I mean, just listen to these new names. Andreas Recuarte in Dallas. We saw the slashing volley countered by Memo Rodriguez's blast. Rodolfo Pizarro, Alan Pulido, Lucas Zelarayan, Yunus Namli. I mean, these are all guys that if you lose the ball to them in and around your goal, and a lot of teams are playing a pressing system, they can punish you, and they can punish you quickly. They win the ball. It leads to immediate chances. Anything else, Eddie, before I wrap up here? What do you think? You ready for the Minnesota game?
I appreciate you having me on, Glenn, and I look forward to seeing the fans at BBVA Stadium on Saturday night.
Yeah, we're pumped, and you know what? We may get to see that minor Figueroa get back into the lineup as well. who's been outstanding. Eddie, thank you for coming on. We appreciate it. And as always, thank you for the insight tonight.
Anytime, Glenn. Thank you.
All right, that's Eddie Robinson. You catch him as the color analyst. By the way, the third member of our team is Cindy Bourbano on Channel 55. We'll do a full pregame show, Dynamo Minnesota this weekend. My gut is the Dynamo are going to get back to their winning ways. Minnesota's beat up. Likely going to be trying to get a couple guys back and healthy. So we'll take a break here. We've got coming up Brian Chiaretta. We're going to go around Europe. We're going to, with an eye on a lot of the young talent. This is a great interview. I ran this last night in Austin. So we'll come back. We're going to run that interview to end the night. But it's some quality information from Brian Chiaretta. Our show is brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com. And appreciate John and his firm's attention to our show and getting us on the air both in Houston and Austin. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys in Houston at 713-322-HURT. Daspit Law Firm is going to work for you 24-7, nights and weekends. They'll bring you the personalized approach. Get that representation you need with the Daspit Law Firm. 713-322-HURT.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5, broadcasting safely with our masks from Boomer Naturals.
Order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use promo code ESPN Houston for 20% off.
I'm Tyler Adams, and you are listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis on ESPN 97.5.
All right, Tyler Adams there. Got to love that. RB Leipzig. You're going to hear a little bit about him in this next interview. Before we get to that, though, quickly here. Highest-earning soccer players. Lionel Messi, $126 million. Cristiano Ronaldo, $117 million a year. Neymar, $96 million. Kylian Mbappe, $42 million. Mo Salah, $37 million. Then we go to Gareth Bale at $29 million, Lewandowski, $28 million, Paul Pogba at $26 million, and David De Gea at $20 million. Are they earning their money? Okay, I'd leave that one up to you. All right, this next interview is brought to you by Lustav Vermouth and, of course, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. This is Brian Chiaretta of American Soccer Now. Brian joins us now. Brian, thank you very much for coming on.
Oh, thank you very much, Glenn. It's always a pleasure to be on.
Always a pleasure. Fellow guy from New Jersey calling in from Morristown, New Jersey. So I'm gonna really rattle off a lot of stuff to you tonight because there is
Let's do it. Like
you've said in your tweet, at Brian Chiaretta, there was a lot to cover this weekend. So let me start with Weston McKennie because this is pretty incredible. He's on loan from Schalke. I see the image of him with Cristiano Ronaldo, right? How legit is this? How legit is playing time? How much of a fight is it going to be for Weston McKennie to get it?
I think he's going to get it. I think he's going to get it. I think they're going to give him a fair shot, at least early in the season. I mean, look, the modern game right now is so athletic. It's more athletic than it's ever been. Now, the skill is still there, but there's more of an emphasis on athletic players, and Weston has that in absolute droves. I mean, he is a heck of a player. And, and I also look at the transfer value too. You don't, even for a team like Juventus, you don't put that kind of money out there, for a player, you're not taking a flyer on them. They believe in him. So I think, and obviously I think that whether or not this deal moves forward as a full-time basis beyond this year is contingent on how much he plays, how many games he gets. And so I think they're going to want to kick the tires here and see what they can get out of them, at least early on. I'm betting on a lot of playing time early.
Weston McKennie, unbelievable. In the uniform of Juventus, pretty incredible. Tyler Adams, Red Bull Leipzig. I heard a report that he played as a center back in a preseason game, which you never can read too much into that. Mm-hmm. Where do you see him at Leipzig right now? Will he be back in midfield? And can he reclaim a starting spot there consistently?
Well, they had a nice cup win over Nuremberg, which is a lower half second Bundesliga team. They comfortably won 3-0. He was the man of the match in that playing center midfield. You know, I think that's the big test for him. I mean, since he's come back from that long term injury last December, it's been either coming off the bench or starting at right back, and maybe occasionally a start in center midfield. He's done well off the bench. But I think eventually, now that he's had the benefit of a healthy full preseason, that he'll return to the midfield. That's his best position. I mean, you don't find players that often that can cover that much ground as he can. So I'm looking for him to return where he should be in center midfield. He's now older, wiser. He's approaching that veteran status now. So, you know, they now have a good idea where to read him, and having the preseason is key.
Yeah, by the way, the New York Red Bulls, tell you, they miss him so much. Oh, my God.
Oh.
poor Chris Armas. You know, that was a bit of a shocking removal of him, I think, for a number of reasons, but that's another story. Conrad De La Fuente. Now, this is an interesting story. Had a father who worked in the Haitian embassy in Madrid, mm-hmm. ultimately gets scouted by Barcelona. He's now all the way up to Barcelona B from La Masia. First American to play for Barcelona in the first team. He comes on in the second half against Gimnastic in a friendly.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a real... it's going to be really interesting because I do not have a good sense of how this is going to play out just yet. I mean, you know, when everyone's healthy at a Barcelona team, is he going to get the minutes that all players need, regardless of what kind of how good of a team it is? I mean, training, even with the best of the best, can only take you so far. You need to play. And then, but at some point, you know, they have their reserve team, Barca B, in the third tier, that is that really going to be good enough to test him? I don't think so. So he's kind of in like that in-between zone as to where it's going to go. And, you know, one potential guess I might have is to train with the first team maybe for a couple of months through January and then maybe find a place on loan. But there's that has diminishing returns how long he can train there. But, look, it's a great spot he's at. He just has to keep doing what he's doing and keep working hard. But obviously it's a thrill to see him, you know, just any American, even if it's just a friendly, playing with a team, you know, that storied and stuff. And obviously they like him. So how far it will take with him, you know, you can't really tell until he starts playing for first team minutes.
Yeah, and he only recently got up to Barcelona B, according to Jordi Sunyer, who's also been on the show from Spain. So,
yeah.
You have to be very careful with these preseason friendlies. We've learned. I know you know that, but I'm just saying we've learned that when, you know, we have the ICC games that come over here and you see some really talented players and you're like, whatever happened to him? Oh, well, he's still in the reserve team. This is another interesting one that you put out. Johnny Cardoso. 18 years of age at Internacional in Brazil, a defensive midfielder, a lot of injuries at that team, and he's gotten an opportunity for the top team in Brazil's Serie A. Tell us about him.
Oh, he's an exciting guy. He's born actually near where we are, in Denville, New Jersey. But he's raised predominantly in, he has some family up here, but he's raised predominantly in Brazil. Very good defensive midfielder. He's very young. I mean, I think, it's interesting that Greg Berhalter was really took the lead in reaching out and contacting with his player and bringing him into the fold. And he's even mentioned him specifically. I think he was going to get, I'm pretty sure he was going to get a call up in March to the games that were canceled. But that would have, you know, so they rate him highly. You know, Berhalter, I said, brought him into a USU 23 camp, but he's still very young and defensive midfielders tend to, you know, they tend to blossom a little bit later in their career. So to have him doing well at this age is good. You know, he benefited to the fact that there was some injuries and rumored COVID breakout within the team, which kind of paved the way for him to getting minutes. But he took advantage. He did very well. Now those players are all back. They lost without Johnny playing over the weekend. But look, I think he's a long-term player. This is a big pickup, I think. And he's got a lot of opportunities ahead with the USU 20 team, the USU 23 team, the next two U23 teams as well as the first team. So they have time is on their side to break him in, but he's checking a lot of boxes early. And that's a position that's not very deep right now. When you look at the youth national teams among right now, the player pools, they could use more defensive midfielders.
What's his physical makeup?
I think he's about 6'1". He's a tall guy. He's a little slender. I mean, cause look, he's only 18. So he's not, you know, fully built out yet. But he has the makings of being able to really handle the physical side. He's tall, which is what you want from that position. Even if I say that as Tyler Adams isn't the tallest kid out there, but this guy, you know, he covers a lot of ground out there. It's exciting, and his long ball passing is terrific.
So he's got a good range of passing as well. That sounds good. Let me take you to Gio Reyna. Watched him today. Still smooth. Taking corners, taking free kicks, scoring off a free kick against Duisburg. Tell me about him and maybe what's the effect of Marco Reus returning as well, who was out injured.
Well, I mean, welcome back, Reus. It's welcome news. I mean, like I think regardless, you know, I think Gio, as good as he was last year, Stoneley started one game, I think it was, towards the end of last season. So, but he's still very rated very highly, and he comes in with a very solid preseason. So now, like, you want to see with every young player, you want to see progress, not stagnation. That's really the name of the game. I mean, you don't want him to be just as good as he was last year, even if that still is a high level. You know, he needs to, you always need to raise that bar with 16, 18, 17, 18, 19-year-olds, 20-year-olds. Like, that's it. So, and the pressure's on at Dortmund to win. I mean, they're back in the Champions League, and they want to be able to push towards the top of the table. Can he be the number 10 to lead a team of that caliber? I mean, that's a high bar. I think he's going to get a chance. I think he's going to get a lot of minutes. Will he crack 2,000 minutes? That'll be close, but, I think among all competitions, it's certainly very possible.
Yeah, let's not forget he's 17 years of age, by the way, as a reminder. Unbelievable. All right, so Brendan Aaronson got a lot of attention down at the MLS's back tournament. Obviously a very young, talented player. Europe seems to be beckoning for him. A lot of links to Red Bull Salzburg. What are your thoughts on Brendan Aaronson?
Another Jersey kid. I really like him a lot. I think he's one of the more fun players to watch in the league. I mean, look, he plays the number 10 for the team that I think is the best team right now. Regardless of standings, I think Philadelphia is the best team in the Eastern Conference. And he's their number 10. And he controls the game well. I think there's still certainly a lot of areas he needs to improve. He needs to be able to touch the ball more. He needs to see the ball more. But his finishing's better. But if you look at where he was last year when he was still starting a lot of games, he's better. I mean, he filled out a little bit more. He could handle the physical side. He can muscle defenders off well. And he scores some nice goals. So I think it's the hype is warranted to an extent. I think this is not a starter for the national team, but this is obviously a key cog on the USU-23 team. I think it's a guy that should his club release him wherever he is next year, he could be the starting number 10 in Tokyo at the Olympics. And from there, you only see your stock rise. I've heard the rumors have been out there, but I can confirm that I've heard Red Bull Salzburg is interested in him. And that would be a pretty good level for him in the Austrian Bundesliga. He get a lot of offensive chances in that because that's a team that scores a lot of goals in that league.
Last one, we're up on a hard break here, but I want a minute on FC Dallas's Regin Cannon. Now he's moved to Boa Vista. Apparently, FC Dallas retains 25% of their investment on this. And then I do the on television the Houston Dallas game this weekend, and Brian Reynolds just steps in and. Obviously looks like a ready-made replacement out of your academy. I mean, that's the way you really want it to work, isn't it?
Yeah, you always want to be able to replace the guys you sell. I mean, that's how Ajax has done it for decades. And but look, Reggie scored in a preseason game. I mean, I rate the importance of that one a little bit higher because that's the final one before the regular season. I think he's going to do well, and I don't think he's going to be at Boa Vista long. If he does well there, I think he's going to Lille, and they have common ownership between those two teams. So it's up to him. The pathway is set for him to go to a very, very high level. Now it's just up to him to take advantage. And I like his athleticism to handle that right back spot. He's really gifted in that respect, and the soccer side has improved tremendously at FC Dallas. So kudos to them on great development of a real national team player.
Tremendous insight. Brian Sciarretta, you can get him at American Soccer Now, and you can also follow him at Brian Sciarretta on Twitter. Brian, tremendous job. Thank you.
Thank you, Glenn.
All right, I leave this with you tonight. Remember, outside of the 34 goals and 27 assists Albert Ali scored, just remind yourself how many other goals he was indirectly involved in outside of goals and assists. His disruptive nature benefited a lot of others. All right, Aaron Raybould, tremendous job tonight producing this show. Tremendous job from Victor Ariza, huge contributor to this show. And a big thank you to our presenting sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. I'm Glenn Davis on behalf of the firm. I'm out.
ESPN 97.5.